Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in God's Word, the book of Psalms and Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is the Lord that would help us. We might consider together verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. This is a psalm of David. He has been meditating upon a situation upon which he was in. The word maschil, the idea in that word is that it is a song or a piece of poetry which has come out of still contemplation. And here is David. He has contemplated his own experience, that's clear from the psalm, and he has written it to help us. And that's why it's been included in the book of Psalms. And we find that David felt like getting away from everything. I said, verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. I'm sure you've often felt that way. I could just do with getting away from this situation. It would be so easy just to fly away and be at rest. Of course, such thinking is wishful thinking. And David realizes that. But it's good for us to realize that God's people at times do feel that way. I feel like just running away from it all. But that's not the answer. What is the answer? Relief is to be found in the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. The context may very well be David and the rebellion that took place during the days of Absalom. We can't be 100% sure. That certainly would fit in with this psalm. We can picture verses 12 to 14 relating to Ahithophel, David's counselor who he so cherished. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. What made it especially hard was this fact. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. There had been conspiracy. Look at that in verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. And his words were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. You've got both what Absalom did and what Ahithophel did, and how desperate was the situation. And what pained David so much was the fact that it was those whom you would have expected better of when you had such betrayal, as it were. And it's interesting to see those parallels between David and the Lord Jesus in their lives. You find them both having to cross over the brook Kidron and ending up on the Mount of Olives. You find there's an Ahithophel who was a counselor of David who very much turns against him. And there's a Judas who betrays him. There's these parallels. And David draws from a situation and he teaches us how we are to deal with life's burdens. And that's our theme this evening, how we are to deal with life's burdens. And this evening I'd like us to look generally at this text and then specifically apply, see how it outworked itself in the life of David and in the life of Judas. So first of all, we have a general view of how to deal with life's burdens. And there are three things we might note when we think of how we're to deal with life's burdens. First of all, we need a right view of life's burdens. That's the first thing. It's very easy to be negative about them and to be complaining. But when we have a right view of life's burdens, we will realise that they are God's gifts. They're actually God's gifts. The word burden, it can mean a gift or a portion. And in the context here, it's evidently not something that we are giving to God. Rather, it's something that he is supplying us with. It is a burden here that God has placed upon David. And that's the whole context. It's a gift that God has given. But that gift indeed is troubles and difficulties. And we find assurance being given that David will not be allowed to totter over and fall completely under these burdens. He shall sustain thee, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So David is seeing these burdens as the portion, the gift that God has given him. And yes, there may be very hard trials in these things, but these hard trials that come our way, they're actually difficult providences sent by God. So they are given to us of God. He gives you the situation that you may be struggling in this evening. Or if it is a hard duty that you and I have to fulfill, it is a duty at the end of the day that God lays upon us and calls us to undertake. You see, our problem is that so often we lose sight of God in the midst of the trial, when it gets hard, or in the midst of the onerous duty, and we forget his involvement, and therefore we question, why is God allowing this to happen? And we begin to complain or we get weary of such things. But if we remember they are God's gifts, that will help us to have a right view of them. And not only are they God's gifts, they are purposeful gifts. We remember that God is wise. He is all wise. Everything he does in wisdom. And therefore, to everything, there must be a purpose. You know, sometimes you may be given a present, or you may see someone else given a present, and you might think, yeah, what was that person doing? That was just not appropriate in the circumstances. It was very unwise to give that person this gift. But he is not a thoughtless giver. He is the all-wise giver. Indeed, we might say that they are love gifts. Samuel Rutherford speaks of the burdens of life as a gift of Christ. He says that they are one of the that one of the marriage gifts of Christ to his spouse is a cross. There's a purpose. God knows what he's doing. He sometimes may bring us into situations to humble us, because he knows we're prone to pride. That was a problem with Paul. The thorn in the flesh is not removed from him, because it was recognized that he could be exalted above measure because of the privileges that he had. Well, he was something to keep him humble, to keep him in his place. It was for his good. And although Paul, to begin with, prayed that it might be removed, yet he was being told, no, it's not going to be removed. It's for your good. Accept it as such. You think of how sometimes through the burdens and duties of life, the Lord exercises our faith, and through that increases our faith. We learn to depend on him more and more, and we're amazed at how he answers prayer and does us good. You think of how at times we're conscious of him enabling us to serve through these things, upholding us and keeping us. He may be teaching you his consolations in the midst of the trials of life, that you may help others and comfort others with the comfort that you yourself have received from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:3 brings that out. So there's a purpose in these gifts. And you'll notice something else about them. They're personal. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Thy there is in the singular. There's a reminder too, is it? You will have burdens that others will not have, and they will have burdens that you may not have. We have different personalities, we have different needs, we're at different stages in life and in our spiritual experience. We have differing weaknesses in our spiritual armour, different sins that we are prone to, and therefore we find God lays different duties upon us and brings us into different providences, knowing what we need. We should be thankful if we don't have to bear some of the burdens that others bear. We should remember God deals with us personally and be thankful for his personal care. So we need a right view of life's burdens. But then you'll notice, secondly, we need to apply the right remedy for life's burdens. We need to apply the right remedy for life's burdens. It would be very easy for David to complain, for us to complain, but we're not to do that. We can try and run away from situations. People sometimes do that, and they tend to find that they take their problems with them. They don't get away from them. We're not to try and run away. Neither are we to try and trust in our own strength. Sometimes that's what we do. We'll just soldier on. But that doesn't work. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Throw it away. Throw it off. There's the picture. It is that of ceasing from man, ceasing from trusting in self, and learning to trust in God, abandoning ourselves to God, abandoning it as well to God, to let him deal with it. And so we look to him to deal with us, to help us in the situations of life. We look to him to uphold us. And we keep on doing the right thing. Abraham had to learn. God was going to provide a son. And he just to keep on waiting upon the Lord. And so you and I are to accept those providences, fulfill those duties. And yet at the same time, we're to take what is burdensome in it, what is difficult in it, and abandon it into the care of God. And doesn't it take effort and resolution? Because so often we fret and we go back to looking to ourselves and trying to work out how to deal with certain problems, and we need in faith to take it to the Lord, to lay a hold of him, to trust his promise, when he promises help, when he promises to uphold us, when he promises to provide for us. As he calls us to let everything with prayer and supplication be made known unto the Lord. Well, there's what we're to do, knowing that he will give peace. Remembering who he is, that is Jehovah, the God of the covenant, the God who has life and who gives life, the God who is willing and able to help. How often we fail to apply the right remedies, but it is to cast our burden upon the Lord. So, we need a right view of life's burdens, and we need to apply the right remedy. And we need also to remember the right encouragement for life's burdens. Notice what he says. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He says, he shall sustain thee. You'll notice what he does not say. He does not say, cast thy burden upon the Lord and it will immediately disappear. And that often is what we would want. That just this difficult thing we've got to do, it would go, or else the difficulty in life would disappear. Sickness might disappear. The anxiety over an unconverted loved one might disappear. How often what we are wanting is just our problems to disappear, to go. But rather, we're to recognize it. His promise is, he shall sustain thee. In other words, he will remove that burdensome element. He will uphold us, like someone perhaps coming behind us, taking the weight, as it were, of the burden that might be on our back, but the burden's still there. He will sustain thee. Ideas of being provided for, we think of sustenance, provision made. So he is the one who will sustain us, uphold us, strengthen us, give a measure of relief, whatever the situation might be. He gives us what's necessary to cope with the burden. It's like Paul, when he turns round and says to him, the thorn in the flesh isn't going away, but my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And when we know that he will help us, you've got to do this thing. It's not going to be easy. But by my God assisting me, I'll overleap a wall. He will help me. I don't know if I can cope with this difficult situation, this trying situation, but he will uphold me and bring me through it. When it passes through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm thee. Was it not in such a situation that Augustine could see, as he's thinking of God's sovereignty in the midst of the situations of life. He says, command what thou wilt and give what thou dost command. I'll do whatever I'm asked to do, so long as I'm equipped, as it were, to do it. He will sustain thee. I will serve. I'll do what I need to do. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel up to it. But if he calls me to do it, I will do it. Because he who gives the command gives what is necessary for the fulfillment of that command. He will sustain thee. What a promise to encourage us when we feel burdens being placed upon us. And he says, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer the righteous to be removed. In other words, he will sustain thee and then he will preserve thee. They shall not be moved. The idea is of being shaken. They're unshakable and they're unflappable. You might think of a pole shaking under the strain, maybe bearing some burden. Well, there's a danger of it failing. But no, he will not cause the righteous to be moved. He will not allow, he shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. In other words, we can be sure that he will not allow us, allow this situation to go on forever. He may remove the burden, or it may be there'll be relief given so that we are kept from being totally broken under that burden. He preserves us. He preserves us sometimes by extricating us, lifting us out of the situation, and other times by helping us through the situation. He will preserve thee. And you see, when you and I remember that his promises do not fail, then here is help when we feel overwhelmed. We go to the one who is higher than we are, and we realize, none perish that I'm trust. He will keep me. He will uphold me. He will help me. There then is the remedy, we might say. There's how we're to cope with life's burdens. Getting a right view, applying the right remedy, remembering the encouragement that he gives. And you can see that applied in the life of David and in the life of Christ. Notice that briefly, in the life of David. If you think of the rebellion of Absalom, was that not a real trial? Your own flesh and blood turning against you, deposing you, threatening you. You find David praying, and he is willing to be rebuked if he has done something wrong. You get that in 2 Samuel 15. And yet, he is confident of God's help. He's not claiming he's perfect, but he knows that he has been faithful as a king, and that this isn't a rebuke for a specific thing. That at least is the way you're seeing things. And if this is the situation, the psalm here is describing the problem, and he does have, and he tells the Lord this problem and how he's feeling, and isn't that good that you and I can say to the Lord, I just feel it running away from everything, but I know I can't. I don't know if I can cope with this. That's how I'm feeling. But you've said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And so I'm going to do that because you've promised to sustain me. You find David describing his problems and looking for God's help. It's not that he does nothing. He's got to act, and you find him in 2 Samuel 15 making different preparations for his own security, and then to, at the end of the day, retake the throne. But in the midst of his grief, he's looking to the Lord to uphold him and to help him regain the throne. He looks to the Lord to overthrow the wickedness of people. The death seize upon them, let them go down into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. But as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. And aware that he has acted peaceably, that he's not the one who's broken the covenant, verse 20. He looks to God to provide for him. And God does provide. And he provides for him in strange ways. You have the likes of Barzillai coming and providing for him. And you find Absalom being defeated, not at all in the way that David had planned it, but God provides what is the perfect remedy and deliverance. And David learns he's to trust in the Lord, and he will keep him in the middle of this situation, and ultimately he will bring him through it. And although it might not be as he has planned, it will be what is for his good and for the good of God's kingdom and for the good of God's glory. Or you might think of the Lord Jesus himself, because he is one who does similar situation. And we thought something of that on Sabbath with the announcement of the betrayer. You think of how he had a duty to fulfill for the salvation of his elect and to vindicate God and his glory, the salvation of a fallen race hanging on his work alone. And what a burden it was to fulfill the law, and especially to die as a sinner's sacrifice, as a Lamb of God that would bear away the sin of the world. He knows that the Father is giving him this cup. It's a Father's gift in a sense. No horror there is as he thinks of that, but the cup that his Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He has prayed in Gethsemane. As he prays in Gethsemane, what is he doing but pleading the promises of God, praying for deliverance, praying for upholding? And he rises comforted and assured that the Father will uphold him as he has got the darkness of Calvary to go through. We find the Lord encouraging him by the presence of an angel who worships him and reminds him of, no doubt, of the glory that is to come. And his very presence is a token of the favour of God and the pledge of his help. But still he has to pray. And he continues in prayer. And because he's aware that this duty is not easy. Who can drink the cup the Father has given him but him alone? And only as he prays again and rolls up burden on his Father and is comforted by the Father for that, is he able to go out and meet Judas, confront him, and to show that he is fearless as he gives himself into the hands of his enemies, that they might take him and that they might try him and crucify him. He is helped. But how is he helped? Not by an escape route being provided, but he's helped in the way of obedience. It's as he obeys and goes on, he finds the Lord sustaining him. He finds himself being strengthened. He doesn't shirk duty. He does what's right. He does what's pleasing to the Father. And it's not that he is thinking, it's not because I'm strong, I'll do this. Rather, he goes on in the strength of the Spirit and the strength of the Father to give himself. And he will be crucified in weakness. And he feels, we might see, his own human weakness, but is aware that he is upheld mightily by the Lord, by his Father. And that's a lesson for you and me. It might be some burden. It might be some trial. He will uphold us and bring us through in his own way, for his glory and our good. Maybe some duty we have to fulfill. We have to press on and do it, though we feel insufficient for it. And he will help us and enable us to do it. How we need daily to learn this truth. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst help us to learn this lesson, which it's so easy for us to speak of and so difficult for us to put into practice. We are liable to get overwhelmed, or we are liable to look to our own resources. We are slow learners. But we thank thee for one who was that perfect example, who gave his life a ransom for many. Bless us in his name and teach us to walk in his ways. We thank thee that he has dealt with our greatest burden. Help us to take every other burden to him, so he doesn't forgive our sin, for Jesus'